This is Crafting the Short Story with your host, author and editor, Darren Todd of DarrenTodd.net. Now, let's explore the agony and the ecstasy, the magic and the mechanics of short fiction.
Hello and welcome. This is episode 11, The Life Cycle of a Short Story, Part 1. So this was inspired by a piece I wrote for a open mic event. It had to be about 750 words, 5 minutes. So I wrote it a little bit long. I think I wrote it about 1,000 words, knowing I would have to trim some fat, and then send it out to a few peers. Now, I had written it, a little bit of it, years before, and read it and thought to myself, this sounds pretty good. But then as I'm writing more, admittedly, I find a distinct sort of storytelling voice because I'm thinking about this being presented in, you know, an open mic format, not poetry slam by any means, but more storyteller and, you know, hopefully reacting to the audience and getting a few laughs, most of it being memorized as opposed to read off the page, that sort of thing, which does end up affecting my writing. For one thing, notably, I wasn't as worried about tense shifts. You know, I might refer to something in the past and then immediately switch to the present. And it sounded pretty natural. And my transitions might be a little bit more full of, now you see, etc. But the beginning was very technical. So I had one thing where written years before, technical. And then as I'm writing it, it slowly turns into something more storyteller. And yet I read it over 2 or 3 times before sending it to my peers, but I had just written it. So I sent thinking, it sounds pretty good. And got back some good feedback, but also certainly criticism, noting what I suppose I already knew, and that is that it really did have a different voices to it that needed to be amended. Even in a piece that was going to be 750 words, you need to have a consistent voice. So this was during a busy day, so I sort of took that, absorbed it, but didn't return to the piece until the latter part of the day, maybe 4 hours of separation, and I read it over. Not even necessarily having the edits right next to me that were suggested, but just having them in mind. And I read over it, and sure enough, I'm seeing it with completely different eyes, even half a day later. Then I make some changes, and I realize, too, okay, well, I probably have to go back to this even once more before, you know, just to make sure I have even more distance to it. So what is an acceptable amount of distance? If we're talking about the life cycle, the beginning is the first draft, the very first thing you put on paper. And how long then between first draft and, quote, final draft? Everyone knows it's not really ever completely done, but what we accept being the final draft. I question sometimes whether I should even be sharing the first draft, because I've been in situations before where I really want to submit something to, let's say that I've written on Friday for a Saturday peer review meeting. And I really want it to be read. First of all, I suppose you should be submitting something a couple days ahead of time as opposed to the day before. But regardless, I really wanted some opinions on this, even though I knew it wasn't ready. Or, in one story, it was most certainly first draft, but I knew I needed to trim lots and lots of content. So I sent this off. I think it was probably 15,000 words and had to be 9,000, which is obviously a huge, substantial cut. I knew I had to cut probably, you know, in entire chunks, not just trimming the fat. So I sent it out and asked my peers what scenes, what whole scenes could be cut. And what I got in return was, I don't know, a disappointment, an acceptable disappointment, but it was saying, well, this is not up to your usual work. Well, no, it wasn't. It was because this is a first draft, and even though I was trying to convey that I only wanted these larger thematic edits and suggestions on what could be cut, they're still reading every word as if this is, you know, a line edit, essentially. So I would question sending out a first draft unless the person you're sending it to is actually expecting a first draft. And maybe you even have a reader who knows that's the case. This, you're going to write in a fever and knock out several thousand words and be able to send to this person, and they're going to tell you, good idea, bad idea, think about this direction or that direction. Obviously, developmental edits, more than line edits, and certainly more than copy edits. and be able to speak to that, but I don't know about transgressing that. If you have someone who does more copy edits, then it will be foolish to send them something thinking you're going to get developmental edits. And vice versa, certainly. You sending something that you believe is a revised draft, even close to a final draft that you're about to send out to a publication, and you just need someone to look at it and make sure that you don't have any homonyms and make sure all the spelling is correct and the formatting's okay, you don't send it to a developmental editor, because then they're going to open up more work for you to do for the next, you know, few months. No, you're not going to be ready to send this out. And I would also say that if you're getting something edited on the first draft or in an early draft, you also have to have an exceptionally thick skin. I don't necessarily find, at least with my work, that it encourages or discourages me to complete the work, or that it truly affects the direction of the work. But I do know that, I mean, I still have to have exceptionally thick skin to hear from someone, you know, who is expecting perhaps a certain level of refinement and is instead faced with something where, because I hadn't self-edited as much or because I simply wanted feedback on an earlier draft, they're going to be much less enamored of something in an early draft phase. So how long between first draft and having fresh enough eyes to do many of those edits yourself? Well, I remember when I studied Latin, hearing about the Roman poet Horace, who would put something away, and I tried to verify this and couldn't find it. I couldn't actually verify it, but I will take my Latin professor's word for it, would put his lines away on something new that he wrote for 7 years. Now, that doesn't mean that he would sit on his hams for 7 years and wait to work on something. Obviously, he had put something back years before that, and then years before that. So he always had something to work on, but what he was working on was consistently his older stuff. And then he likened it to filing down. He always wrote long and then filed down. But that's obviously a huge gap, and you would see it with completely fresh eyes. But I would argue, in terms of short story, that you can get fresh eyes pretty quickly. I would just say that with my own workflow, if I write something that's an absolute first draft and has done nothing else to it now, and then I want to look at it a year later, that's probably all right. But there are first drafts I've written, and then I look at it, you know, several years later, certainly not even seven, and I decide, no, I'm a better writer now, I'm just going to scrap it. And I don't necessarily want that, because I'd like to look at it with fresh eyes, revise it the best I can, and then put it away for a little while longer if I need to, look at it again with fresh eyes, and continue on the editing process as well. Not necessarily saying that there's some arbitrary amount of time that needs to pass. It could even depend on the work, a work that perhaps you've finished, but you don't have time to workshop right at that moment, or that you don't necessarily have a market for. There's nothing wrong with putting that away and then knowing that you're going to bring it back up at some later date. Just don't forget to, obviously. So I don't think there's a magic bullet for that, but it's something to consider. And this is what makes me wary of those who write something and say, you know, yes, I wrote it in just this sort of blitz, and 10,000 words, and then the next day I edited all of it. I'm dubious about that. Well, I mean, especially with a novel, I suppose. Well, in some ways, though, a novel is more forgiving because you have, you know, 70,000, 90,000 words, whatever, that the person knows, okay, I'm just going to skip over these part and overlook this part that isn't so good because I've got so much more to go, where it's a short story, you know, by its very nature, is supposed to be tighter. So I suppose it is a little bit more forgivable with a novel, but at the same time, the idea that someone writes a short story and then spends the next day editing it sounds pretty awful to me, because you just don't have that distance, nor, of course, do you have any other perspectives on it, but you need that distance, even if what I would suggest is just the person find their own idea of how long that gap should be. So continuing on the life cycle of the story, how long between rejection or multiple rejections and revision? Again, no hard and fast rule, but without any real feedback as to why it's not being picked up by a publication, it's worth considering pulling it from your lineup of submissions and workshopping it once more. I think, you know, and this is an arbitrary number, it will usually be for me 3 or 4 rejections of a short story for appropriate markets. I mean, I suppose that if there were markets that I didn't really look closely at. Let's say that the closer I've looked at the publication that I've sent it to, the more weight it being rejected by them will have. So if I've written a story that is, well, I wrote one in particular, for instance, that still hasn't been picked up. I think I have a good idea of where it's going to go from now, but I will get that story published at some point in time. But it is, I would say, a corrupted fairy tale story. And I sent it to publications, and I wrote it without that even in mind. But then I sent it to publications who were looking specifically for corrupted fairy tales. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. This is exactly what they are looking for. I am reading their guidelines on this either special issue or the magazine in particular, looking for that sort of work. And it still gets rejected. Well, that holds much more weight to me than if I had just done a shotgun approach and I sent it to six places simultaneously and all six shot it down. Well, maybe that was just because I wasn't sending it to the appropriate market. But three places who were looking specifically for that very tight subgenre, and those three rejected it, especially form rejection letters that gave me no indication as to why they didn't like it. Well, that holds much more weight. And also, of course, just as getting peer review, if you do get something that isn't a form rejection letter and it specifies something, and then something else also specifies that, in this case, it was the ending. I have a twist ending, but it was a somewhat disturbing ending, and people said so, and I thought, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that in a story. It might stick with you, but the editor's literally saying, well, I didn't personally like it. Not that there's anything wrong with it or the way it was written, but I didn't like it. So then I have to pull back and really think about revising. So in this part of the life cycle, you know, how long between rejection and revision? I would say it depends on the weight of the market, how close that market was. But I think if you received a half dozen and they were markets that you felt pretty good about, it might be time to pull that story and revise. And hopefully you have something else in the queue that can be sent out so that always something is being considered. But pulling something out and doing a revision might at that point be appropriate. So how long a time in this life cycle between submission and simultaneous submission? By that logic, it's not exactly simultaneous, but let's say you're sending to something that you didn't say was a simultaneous submission. Maybe they don't even take simultaneous submission. And yet, it's been a long time since you've heard with them. Let's say you're, you know, on Duotrope or on Submission Grinder or something like that, and you see that the typical response time is 3 months. And yet it's been 6 months and you haven't heard anything from them. And maybe that's the only place you sent the story and you'd like to send it somewhere else. Well, some people might say the courteous thing to do would be to send it to markets that accept simultaneous submissions and tell the initial market that does or does not, or that simply wasn't told it was simultaneous, that you no longer want it considered. That's a possibility. But what I've done historically is that I'll wait about double their typical response time. Much like I said, their typical response time is 3 months and it's been six, I will feel comfortable sending something else out. Now, I would say this is for pubs that don't say they absolutely do not accept simultaneous submissions, but more in cases in which I simply didn't tell them it was, because it was the only place I sent it to at the time. So it was, in my query letter, I didn't say this is a simultaneous submission. But then I will submit it to other places, noting, hey, this is simultaneous submission, so I'm sending it to market B, C, and D. And just with the understanding that if I hear from A, obviously I'm going to tell B, C, D, but if I hear from B, C, and D, I would immediately tell A. And I've had no problems with that. That is, in one particular case, I had sent the story, the place had a typical response time of 6 months, and it had been a year. So I sent it to other places, it got accepted, and I wrote A and said it was accepted elsewhere and got a very warm letter back saying, oh, well, thank you very much for telling us and we'll pull it from the lineup, etc. Even though I think by then they probably knew well that they weren't going to accept it. They hadn't sent me a rejection letter. So, you know, who knows if in the system that maybe I was just in a slush pile by that point. But regardless, they seemed, you know, pleased with that kind of communication. Next week, we'll be going over the second part of the life cycle of a short story and talking about going back to the well with a good story, resubmitting it, republication, the typical rights, and derivative rights as to how you might want to use a short story and not consider it a completed, never-to-be-heard-from-again work just because it was published a single time in a single publication. So, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
This has been Crafting the Short Story with Darren Todd. Visit Darren online at darrentodd.net.